This morning's public reading of God's Word came from Psalm 62. So if you'd like to join with us, take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 62. One of the things that I was taught many, many years ago when it came to studying the Bible or trying to understand what you read is something that might sound simple, but I think it goes a long way in helping us to understand what we read and hear. And that is, look for words that are repeated quite often. A word that is repeated, and no matter what you're reading, especially in Scripture, kind of is actually calling us to pay closer attention. For instance, if you look at verse 1 of Psalm 62, David writes, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Now, this ought to have the ring of Psalm 23, that most often, one of the most often quoted Psalms. It starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd." David doesn't say, "The Lord is your shepherd," though that could be true if David was speaking to a audience of saved people. He could say that and be just as truthful as saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't say, "Well, the Lord is your shepherd," or "The Lord is his shepherd or her shepherd." He makes it very personal. He talks about my or his salvation, if you will. Salvation is something that's personal. Okay? When you look at the New Testament, look at the four Gospels. Notice how Jesus, most of the time, though he spoke to large audiences at any given time, it's quite evident that Jesus really enjoyed that one-on-one exchange. We think of Nicodemus in John chapter 3, for instance. We think of the woman at the well in John 4. And then the gentleman that he heals that was born blind in John chapter 9, just three off the top of my head, where Jesus was very intimate when he did a one-on-one with someone. There are times that Jesus was quite personal on a one-on-one basis, even with his 12 disciples, especially with Peter. On several occasions where it was simply Peter and Jesus face to face. Then there's times when it was Peter, James, and John and Jesus only. So we have this idea of salvation is something personal. It's something that's individual, that God brings to individual people. Now, can God convert a large audience like he did, for instance, in Acts chapter 2? Where 3,000 souls were saved, baptized, and then added to the church? Yes, he can. But still, with those 3,000 souls, that salvation came to 3,000 individuals. It wasn't a mass conversion or some mass hallucination. Peter was able to somehow hoodwink 3,000 out of that entire audience that was there. That was a personal encounter with the truth, a personal encounter with Christ in the gospel. And so salvation is always going to be a personal, individual thing where God the Holy Spirit works on the heart of each and every one of God's elect. Then in verses 2, he only is my rock, my salvation, and my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So David now goes beyond all of these my's, and he includes that God is his salvation. Okay, he reiterates that in verse 2, but then he begins to expand what that salvation kind of means. God is his defense. Okay, he is his rock, which has the picture of stability, a firm foundation to stand, and to above all, stand firm. And so once again, we find these salvation is not only personal, not only is it an individual affair, but it comes to the individual with a host of related blessings. So God is not only David's salvation, God is his defense. And we know that many of the Psalms written by David was written when he was on the run from King Saul, hiding in a cave for his own life. Even though he had 600 armed trained men, his own family comes to seek refuge with him on one occasion. And so he sees God as his high tower, his impregnable wall that God put around him. Verse 3, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall be, and as a tottering fence. So when David says God is my defense, he elaborates with that concept of defense. Verse 3 is here, God coming to the defense of David. And David uses an image of a tottering fence or a brick wall that is now separating and is beginning to bow out. Verse 4, my soul waited thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So not only is salvation individual, not only is it personal, not only does it come with blessings, there's also an expectation. There's an end to the story of your life. There is a pattern, there is a purpose for your life. When God saves you, he just doesn't save you from hell. That's just a fringe benefit. He saves you from yourself. He saves you from the wrath of God. He saves you from eternal destruction. So there is an expectation. There is light at the tunnel. There is that finish line when you pass from this world to the other. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And then notice, what's the outcrop? What's the outcome of these blessings? I shall not be moved. So that which God gives to you and I, individually and personally, comes with a host of benefits. There's an expectation at the end of the road. There is that defense in time of need, in time of struggle. He writes in verse 7, and God is my salvation, my glory, and the rock of my strength, and my refuge. It is in God. So now here's the imagery of seeking refuge, seeking solace, seeking comfort, seeking compassion, seeking provision. Trust in him at all times, verse 8. Not just in the good times, not just in the bad times, but all times. And then he says in verse 8, God is a refuge for us. So now he looks from the personal to the group. And then in verses 9 and following, he begins to describe these adversaries, these enemies. Surely men of low degree are vanity, men of high degree are a lie. So he takes all of lost humanity, whether you're high born or low born, we're all vanity, we're all emptiness, useless, and waste. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity, lighter than a feather. Wow. Trust not in oppression, become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. That's a good admonishment for greed or for the love of wealth and money. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thy renderest to every man according to his work. So whether you're high born, low born, whether you're saved or lost, God will render to every man what they deserve based according to their works. Now, this is not talking about salvation. We're not saved by our works. We are saved to work. But whether you're saved or whether you're lost, whether you're a good tree or an evil tree, you're going to bear some kind of fruit. God's going to judge the fruit. Because when he judged the fruit, he's going to be able to judge the root that bore that fruit. So here we have David telling us so much about his God. David and his God. And his salvation. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.